And welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke, and today we're coming to you from our studios at the University of Sioux Falls. It's been less than a year since South Dakota native and SDSU graduate Stephanie Arney was named as Wild Guide for a new version of Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. In the first four webisodes, she waded through the Florida Everglades, learning about the invasive tegu lizard, dove off the Florida Keys, and participated in coral reef restoration. She searched along the California coast for the mighty California condor, and even went to the Black Hills and hung out with the bison. Stephanie Arney grew up in Pierre, graduated from South Dakota State University. She began her career at the Henry Dorley Zoo and Aquarium in Omaha as education outreach coordinator. And she's currently education coordinator at the Honolulu Zoological Society. I'm assuming you still are, Stephanie?
Actually, no.
Okay.
I got some news.
You got some news? Well, we'll get to that news in just a little bit. She was chosen as the new host of Wild Kingdom in a nationwide online competition that was last summer. There were 200 other candidates, and we talked with her then. And we've talked with her a few times since then. And it's great to have you back here, and this time we get to talk in person again.
Yeah, thank you.
And the news, what's the latest?
Oh, I moved. I moved after we filmed season one, or the pilot season, as we haven't really figured out what we want to call that yet. But I suppose we'll just call it season one. We filmed those four in August, September, and then it came out in October. And then November, December, we got off, and they started telling me, okay, we're going to do another contract for next year. We're going to go for this. And I was like, awesome. Okay, great. But I'm going to be traveling all over the U.S. And I think something I haven't mentioned to you is I have a fear of flying. Spending that much time in a plane from Hawaii to wherever, I mean, just to get to the coast is at least 5 hours, at least. Although I'd rack up some good points, I still don't want to live in an airport and in airplanes that entire time. So I just moved to San Diego in January.
Okay. And do you have a particular job in San Diego?
No, I don't right now. No, actually, I am just doing it and focusing my career right now on Wild Kingdom. I really want to rock that out the best that I can. I do on the side own my own business called The Creative Animal. And with that, I do motivational speaking and consultation, and I help out rescue programs in Southern California to help build their curriculum and to build their audience. And I do personal shows for them as well. So a lot of education and consulting with that. So if anybody ever wants me as a motivational speaker or a keynote speaker, call me up. That's something I can do on the side as well.
So you're working with people now. In addition, when you talk about the creative animal, that you're talking about people, not.
We do have animals. I have access to animals all over Southern California with partners that I have. So if a school in San Diego wants me to come, separate from what Mutual of Omaha does for me, then they would call me, and then I would call my partners, and they'd say, we just want you to come to our high school and speak about wildlife conservation, and I can bring animals or I cannot. It's really options. And I have those partners around the U.S., so I can do that for other schools or museums or zoos or whatever.
So is this sort of connected with the things you were doing before with the zoos then?
Yeah. I've been doing education outreach for 10 years now. Mm-hmm. I've just always been affiliated with a zoo of some sort. So that was at the Omaha Zoo, and then San Diego Zoo, and then SeaWorld, and then Honolulu Zoo. And so I've always been doing educational outreach and tailoring it towards the national and the state standards for teachers and going and speaking at museums and universities. I've always done that. It's just now I'm going to be doing it on my own.
Now, you mentioned the fear of flying. Yeah. And now, when you were living in Honolulu, going back and forth, and I imagine you had to do quite a bit of flying to get to some of the places that you've been. How do you deal with that?
I think most people I've learned, especially in entertainment, they don't usually verbalize a lot of their fears. And I just think that's silly because it makes them like unreachable. Like they're not like a human. I want people to know that I am a human. I have my fears too. Like throughout my career, I've done some pretty crazy stuff. Yeah. But I usually know and understand what I'm getting myself into. And when it comes on to planes, I know it. I get the physics of it, but it still just won't click. And I haven't had any really traumatic flight or anything like that that has made me be like, oh my gosh, I want to never ride on planes again. It's just, I think the older I get, the more I'm thinking harder about everything in life. And I spend more time thinking about airplanes and how they get up and why. And it just still flabbergasts me to the point of being nervous every single time. And the more you fly, the more you're like, is that going to increase my chances? And I hate admitting that, but it is something. It's mostly the takeoff.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, come on, get up there. And then once it's up there, I calm down. But I'm working on it.
Yeah, once you're up there, as long as you're not thinking about it, that the idea that, oh, we're, you know, above the earth in this flying metal tube.
Yeah. I have to try really hard not to think about it. But as soon as there's a bump, my adrenaline shoots through my body and I'm like, oh my gosh, what's happening? And I know, I watch the wings. So I know that we're hitting like an air bump in the sky and you know, the wings are just flexible and bouncing off and I get it, but I know a lot of you listening understand where I'm coming from. If you're afraid of flying, then you know what it's all about. But I am working on it. But to be honest with you, I would definitely prefer to have snakes and spiders and scorpions on me. That's for sure.
Snakes on the plane? Would that
snakes take? On the plane! That would be preferred. I would be like, let me save all of you and cuddle the snakes.
Well, it's not unusual. You know, John Madden, you know, he drives instead of flying to football games. As
does
I understand.
He?
I believe that's the case. Yeah, he has a bus that takes him to the games. Well, you talk about fear, and not that I want to linger on fear. But I remember asking you last summer when you were here, you know, about all these different animals that you deal with. You know, you mentioned spiders and snakes that a lot of people are just scared of for whatever reason, and I asked you if there was any animal that you are a little hesitant to be around, and I believe you said it was a horse.
Yeah.
I was hoping
you wouldn't remember.
I remember this thing. Well, I remembered it when I was watching the webisode from the Black Hills when you were on a horse.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I remembered, oh, she's not crazy about horses, which is unusual for a South Dakota girl, I would imagine. But
especially when my family grew up with horses. I had a traumatic experience with a horse when I was a kid. My aunt used to raise thoroughbreds, and I jumped on a horse, and it didn't have a saddle. And two horses that don't get along were in the same pasture. And they just took off after each other, and I was flying everywhere, and I couldn't control my body, and I was just hanging on to the mane, and then eventually I got so exhausted, I just let go, and I don't know how I didn't break anything. I mean, I'm very grateful, but it stuck with me. I think things that happen to you when you're a kid really stick with you, because I meet people, like I was just in Dallas for 2 weeks doing an event for Mutual of Omaha, and I was with retired teachers, and I would have a fennec fox in my hand, and everybody would come up and be like, oh! But then as soon as I had a snake, you would see people just stare at me from like 12 feet away. And I'm like, come on over and let me teach you about it. So the more you learn, the less you'll be afraid. You know, I try not to be a hypocrite, but I at least try to be like, we learn from putting ourselves in these positions. And then people always come up and say, you know, when I was a kid, you know, things happened and they stepped on a snake or one came after them or one was in their shoe and it just stuck with them. And they understand their importance and they respect them, but they're still extremely frightened of them. So my kind of goal is like how I force myself to get in the plane. I like to encourage people to become more educated about the animals that they fear, because more than likely those fears were either from a traumatic experience from a child, which is pretty rare, or it's from movies like Jaws. For example, Steven Spielberg still regrets the day that he made that movie, and he's voiced that publicly because he has ruined the reputation for sharks. And all of us have been just trying to repair it since then so that we can tell people, look, when you fear it, you don't want to protect it. And unfortunately, if we lose sharks, for example, our entire ocean balance becomes messed up and it will impact our lives at a very personal level. And so I want to have people come up and be like, I want you to appreciate snakes, because a lot of people say any good snake is a good snake is a dead snake. Is what I heard like 16 times in Texas. And it's because of that fear that they have. And I'm like, you know, if you just leave it alone, it'll be good to go and it will keep controlling the rodent population. And that's its purpose on the planet.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. And we're talking with Stephanie Arney. She's the wild guide, the host of a new version of Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, and she's traveling through the state. She's here for a couple of days and stopped by here at the studio again. Nice to have you here. the four webisodes are done. They're out there. They're available at wildkingdom.com, so you can watch them. What was that experience like now that those four are done? Because a year ago at this time,
I hadn't done them.
You hadn't done it. You didn't even know you were going to be the host of Wild Kingdom either. So I'm wondering, where are you now as you look to doing some more of these?
Okay, well, like you said, the first four are out, and we did 4 6-minute webisodes. We didn't have a lot of time to plan all that, which, by the way, pre-production for even something 6 minutes, it takes a long time. And you know, being in this field, it takes a lot to prepare yourself to do stuff like this. And so I have a big respect for movies like Lord of the Rings now, because 6 minutes was a lot. But we did the best we could, and we got four great stories with some great experts. And we found that a lot of people really loved them, and teachers really appreciated them. But we also started studying our market right now is going online. And we needed to find out who our audience was and how long they want to watch something. And we found that a lot of people don't really want to watch something over 3 minutes long. Mm. Our attention span has decreased a wee bit, unfortunately. So we are now going to try a different approach to it. And we are going to do, so think of maybe four themes. And I'm happy to announce those four themes in just one moment. And under that, we'll have topics for each of them. So we'll do, I'll announce one. So the first one we're going to do is we're going to go to Dallas Zoo and do talk about the relationship between the cheetah and the dog. So sometimes people go to a zoo and they see how cheetahs and dogs are raised together and trained together. And they even do this with the cheetah foundations that are in Africa. So we're going to discuss, why do we do that? Why is that special? But we're also going to mention maybe four other topics. But keep them at 2 minutes piece. So 5 2-minute webisodes on one theme. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then we're going to do cheetahs, and then we're going to do giraffes at the Dallas Zoo as well. So that's two themes. The third one is going to be elephants. The Fort Worth Zoo just had baby elephants, and you can't not like baby elephants.
No.
They are so cute. I love them. And then the last one is penguins. And we're going to do that at Omaha Zoo. And I'm really excited about that one because that's where I started my career. And we did my screen testing with the penguins. So I'm excited to get back in there and hang out with them. So those will be the four. So what will happen is you'll go to wildkingdom.com, and there'll be a link that'll say webisodes. You'll open it up, and then it'll have the first four webisodes that we did. And then under that, it'll say, let's say, cheetahs. You'll click on cheetahs. There'll be a whole bunch of pictures of cheetahs, behind-the-scenes pictures from filming, excuse me. And then you'll have 5 2-minute videos about, let's say, the spots of the cheetah and how are they such amazing runners. Their relationship with the dog, why they're used as animal ambassadors for zoos to educate people about the importance of the cheetah populations in the world. So you kind of get an idea of that?
Yes. Yeah, so essentially, say, taking the four webisodes that you've already done, sort of taking that concept, but kind of chopping them up into shorter, still dealing with the same subjects, but chopping them up and shorter.
And it just makes it easier so that when people, maybe they see an update from Wild Kingdom on whatever social media they're on, they'll be able to click it and watch it before, while they're filling up their gas or while they're, I don't know, some people like to watch it while they're going to the restroom. Those 2 minutes that they have time, compared to 6 minutes where I guess just people didn't have as much time to do that. So hopefully we can cater towards that audience. Along with that, we're going to have a much larger social media presence. So you can follow Wild Kingdom and Wild Kingdom TV. Wild Kingdom TV is primarily on Facebook, but on Twitter and Tumblr, Instagram, Google+, and Vine will have Wild Kingdom. And with that, that's going to be separate than the five other webisodes that we've done. We'll do extra fun footage and videos and clips and facts that will cater towards the audience in each one of those platforms. So if you're an Instagram person, you're going to probably see more of how I'm an acrobat in nature. And we put fun filters on, and then the really cool up-close pictures of animals. If you go to Vine, that might be something that's, maybe a little bit more goofier, or watching an animal, like maybe a baby giraffe, try to run in 6 seconds. Tumblr is going to be more like a blog, or I will have a chance to extend on a conversation. So let's say we did one webisode on cheetah spots. Now the blog will say, you want to know the difference between a cheetah and a leopard because you know what? They look the same. Mm-hmm. And from now on, after you read this blog, when you see a TV show or a poster, you can look at your friends and family and be like, boom, leopard. And they're going to be all impressed because you're going to be able to know the distinct differences between the two. So that's going to be the biggest difference of what we're going to be doing. And that debuts this summer.
So this is, you're involved with all these different episodes?
Yeah.
So it sounds like, as well-produced as the four webisodes were, it almost sounds like this is a lot more work.
It is. But we are really looking forward to it. And we have such a fantastic team. Our production company is named Malone & Company, and they're based out of Omaha. And they are very energetic, enthusiastic, and intelligent in the social media area. So they have a good grasp on what they're doing. And the Mutual of Omaha team and Wild Kingdom branding department, we all work together to do it. So it is more work, but we're all definitely, on board for it.
How much of your own experience do you have in social media? You've done quite a bit yourself.
It's hard.
It's hard.
Because we're focusing on all the Wild Kingdom stuff, but then I also have my own Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Instagram and Google+. All of the Pinterest. They keep coming, you guys. You know what I mean? Like, you can't even keep up with them. And I'm starting. Oh, and LinkedIn. No, I have something on all of those, and I'm slowly learning. And thankfully have been able to gain some knowledge from what Mutual has gained through Wild Kingdom stuff. But I have gained some knowledge to learn a little bit better on how to use these social media platforms to my advantage to help me with my own personal brand as well. But, it takes a lot of time. We live on our phones now. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here trying to teach people how to spend more time out in nature. So I try to force
Irony.
Myself to, yeah, isn't it? It's so funny. And I read that when I read blogs on Facebook. It's like, get out in nature and do this and get off your phone as the person's blogging about it. And I'm like, it's hard to get off of it. But I am hoping that I can inspire and encourage people through different media platforms on what they can do to reconnect with nature. Because essentially you are nature. You're part of it. And if you're feeling lethargic and depressed or you're unhappy, it's probably because you're not spending enough time in your home, which your real home is mm-hmm. nature. Going out for a walk, that's way better medicine than what you're ever going to see in a TV commercial by far. I have a lot of people ask me, why are you so optimistic and why are you so happy? And, I've seen a lot of really depressing stuff at my age in Borneo and in Africa. And I just see that those people are still so grateful. And a lot of it is because they respect and appreciate nature. They appreciate where their food comes from and they're knowledgeable about where their food comes from. And they respect the animals around them and the water that's around them. And they don't take anything for granted. And yet we feel bad for them just because they don't have an iPhone in their hands, which they probably do now, but at the time they didn't. So it's something that I try to take with me and remember every single day. I mean, every action that I take, I try to remember that. And one, the more you respect and appreciate it, and the more time you spend out there to remember that, the happier you are.
We've only got about a minute and a half left here, and I know we're just talking about getting out in nature, but before I let you go, for people who are interested in finding some of this work that we're just talking about, you mentioned that it'll be available this summer.
Yep. The new episodes come out this summer. They'll debut on wildkingdom.com or Wild Kingdom TV's YouTube channel. And so you can find all of those there. And then also to get more updates, if you're not finding it there, you can always go to stephaniearney.com and I'll have all the updates on all of that. And all of our social medias will be attached to everything. I think we know how to find it now.
Okay. So basically the simplest thing is wildkingdom.com or
yep.
stephaniearney.com. So.
Yep.
All right. Well, Stephanie, thanks so much for stopping by.
You're welcome.
And best of luck with the new endeavors.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw out really quick. Thank you, South Dakota, for your support. I'm very grateful and I'm a happy girl and I hope I represent you well.
All right. Thank you so much. Stephanie Arney is a host of Mutual Omaha's Wild Kingdom. And we were talking about the first four episodes. Things are starting to change a little bit. But if you want to see those first four episodes, you can check those out at wildkingdom.com.